Welcome to the CEN Show, the voice of the world community. I am your host, Rasaki Mafkani, and today we have a special edition show. We're coming to you from Ghana today, but we're still in different locations. So what I want to do first, I want to share the last show we did on Wednesday. So share that. Okay, on Wednesday, we had a real good show. We had Brother Hood, a teacher buddy of mine that teaches gaming, has a gaming class. And we had a show where the title was Deconstructing Game Design Development Strategy. A real good show and very informative. So I encourage everybody to check that out, especially parents. Real good show. It gave a lot of information and how the gaming could be a little harmful at times if people are not paying attention and parents letting the kids do what they want. So that was a good show. Encourage everybody to check that out. So today we have, let me introduce the panel first. We got Sister Linda's here from Florida. We have Brother Mashinda out of Louisiana, and we have Sister Sandra Henderson out of Florida all. And we're expecting it. So that's the panel here today. So now let me introduce my guest for the day. Her name is Priestess Victorious, and I want to share with you the first show we did with her. This is her second show. So 6 months ago, she gave us a bunch of information about Ghana, and she's in Ghana. So this is why we're doing this Sunday. And she showed us the place she lived, the things that she's doing. It's very nice place she lives at, the program she has for the children. It's just a lot of good information. And, you know, she encourages people to come visit Ghana and even come there to live. So she's going to tell us more about what she does there. So that was a good show. Check it out on Community Education Network on YouTube. So now, Victorious, I met her through Ronnie Forrest, a guest of ours on our show. You've been on twice, and he visited Ghana. And when he visited Ghana, he found out that the young lady that he was staying with was somebody he knew. He knew her father. So it's a very small world. She went way to Ghana, find out that his buddy's daughter is out there doing good things. So we encourage everybody to check out, you know, her and their business and what she does. So I'm going to turn it over to her now. Victorious, thanks for coming on again. And our topic for today is the state of the Black family. But before we get started, Victorious, tell us some more about yourself and the Khalifa Consulting and all of that. Thanks for coming.
Yes. So I was born and raised in Los Angeles, California. I grew up throughout Southern California. I have come from a family of educators. And after undergrad, I moved to the Bay Area. And I was there for graduate school, and I was in the Bay Area for 11 years. And during COVID, once the borders opened back up, I said, it's time for me to return to Ghana. I first came to Ghana in 2007, and I would go back and forth I'm an educator, and so during my, summer breaks, you usually have around 10 weeks, and I would take, around a month or so, during my summer breaks and come, and then during COVID, I'm like, it's time to relocate, it's time to move, it's time to stay, and so I'm here now. Let's see. I have an LLC, Khalifa Consulting, based in California, and I have an NGO, the Universal Family Network, based in Ghana. And basically, the LLC and the NGO, they essentially do the same thing. One is for profit and one is for donation, love offering. We basically give free birth work, massage, energy healing to the local community, diasporans and Ghanaians. And yeah. The resources from our LLC allow us to be able to offer free services to our brothers and sisters here on the ground. So much. We have our headquarters here, a 5-bedroom, 4-bathroom space. We have a library. We have a classroom for the youth to come and learn and have aftercare. We have a store. And it's just really great and wonderful to be here, to be on the ground, to be supporting in this work, to support our brothers and sisters that are ready to make this move, to visit, to relocate. I also offer different forms of holistic healing. And as an educator and as a holistic healer, our work, our hub, our space is all about that. So we have cultural and wellness tours and retreats for birth work and womb health. Cultural education. And so, really, just being that bridge from diasporans and Ghanaians through Pan-African healing practices, through wellness, through education. So, that is what we are up to.
Okay, Victorious, I wanted to ask you if we could do something here. Now, our topic is the state of the Black family. Is that correct? So,
Yes.
would you like to start with telling us what do you think the state of the Black family is, and then we go around the panel and also get their take on that also. So, before we get started, or if you want to do that a little later, it's up to you.
Yeah.
So, how does that sound, or you want to do it a little bit different? Sound good? Okay, let's start with you then.
Yes.
What do you think,
Okay.
or what do you say the state of the Black family is? And is it worldwide or is it localized? Want to define or what?
Yes. So when I'm speaking of Black family, it's really, I'm speaking of melanated beings, right? Even within that, Black is technically a color, not a nation. So I'm speaking of Pan-Africans, those that identify as, Black, melanated, indigenous to the lands all over the world, whether that's in Africa, Jamaica, America, Mexico, Colombia, Canada, wherever in the world, worldwide, melanated beings. That's who I'm referring to, those that have melanin on their skin. And so, overall, I would say we have the seeds, we have the foundation of wholeness. There have been strategic attacks, and there continues to be strategic attacks on the Black family that are continuing to be carried out today. And some of it is from capitalization, colonization.
We have a technical difficulty. Be back. There she is.
Uh-oh. Are you all there?
Yeah, you're back. I'm here.
Okay.
We can
So
hear
some
you.
of, Okay, some is from outside forces, but now we perpetuate it, right? So one big example would be not loving the skin that you're in, the bleaching and the dyeing of your body, the perming of your hair, the chemicals, the conking and the hair, right? So on an individual level, if individuals aren't coming 100% fully loving themselves, fully embodied, fully proud of their broad nose and lips, then they're going to bring that into the family and that's going to break down the family. Because now you're telling your son and your daughter, your husband, oh, you're too dark.
Connection. Okay, you're
To
back.
my phone. If I go out again, I'm just gonna do it from my cell phone. The picture quality may not be as good, but I don't want to keep getting cut off. So, there's so much to say as far as the state of the Black family, but the key point that I would say is the state of the Black family is contingent on the state of the individual. And when us as individual melanated people worldwide can love ourselves fully and really show up as full people and do that work, knowing that we have been strategically attacked mentally, physically, psychologically, spiritually, right? So that means maybe we need therapy. We may need somatic healing. We may need to go to ceremony. We may need to work on our physical health and diet and meditations. These are things that I do because
Okay, she's a okay. Can
you are doing great.
you're gonna go to the phone now? We're gonna continue.
Yeah, I'm working.
I'm gonna go to
Okay.
Sister Linda and get her take while you bring the
So yes.
I was just gonna suggest one thing. Can you give us your information just in case you get out your website that you mentioned with your nonprofit, just in case we lose your
Oh
connection.
yes.
Well, we have it right here.
KhalifaConsulting.com.
Right here.
KhalifaConsulting.com.
Thank you. Sorry. Okay, so we're going to continue. Linda, since
Yes.
you spoke, what do you think the state of the Black family is?
I'm in total agreement with what she was just saying. And that's the first time I ever heard the word melanated, and I love it. So I wanted her to continue. I didn't want to, I mean, I have my
Well,
opinion, but I want to hear what Victorious was saying.
yeah, I just wanted to get the panel's take on the state of the Black family briefly. And I too agree with her, but I have specific things that I want to say. And now I'm gonna go to Sandra. And are you gonna come on the phone, right, Victorious? Yeah, she's
I'm
here.
pulling it up now.
Okay.
Do you see me?
I just let you in. So Sandra.
Good afternoon.
Good
I
afternoon.
thought. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
My personal thoughts about the state of the Black family, as into regards as to the way we look. I know personally, I think in America, we've gotten a lot better because you have a thing now where Black Girl Rock, we're wearing more of our natural hair now. We're getting into organic foods. It's like I see more that we're proud of being Black now than I've seen ever before, more, in the past. And then also, I think we need to be, it's gonna take the Black woman. I'm sorry to put it like that, because here in America, the educated, I read statistics about There are more educated Black women among in this country more than ever now, amongst Asian, Hispanic, whites. You know, you can Google it and you'll find that we are number one at the top of being educated. And another thing, we need to take back our household. We need to not always blame other people about what's going on in our community. We need to learn how to recycle those Black dollars. Don't be scared to let your kids branch out in the community. We need to just really think about economics, social economics for our people. You know, develop things within our community, make our kids go back to reading, show them how important education is, teach them about space, NASA, instead of going to the beach all the time, take them to NASA. Just be more creative with our kids. And I think we're somewhat in trouble if we don't learn how to develop our own and expect other people to do it for us.
Okay, thank you.
Excuse
Brother Machinda.
What's up? How you doing?
Okay. Linda, we'll get back after Brother Machinda.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just listening and everything I've heard so far, you know, it makes a lot of sense, you know. We need to take back power. You know, I've always said that a Black woman is more than a pivotal point in the whole equation, and so I'm definitely in line with that. However, where I'm located in Louisiana, you know, a lot of the young brothers are in trouble in little towns, and you know, throughout you know the throughout the country, really, there's a lot going on. So the brothers got to step up as well. You know, I work in education, so that's my angle right now, is to try to get people trained, get them to understand, you know, to come out of the darkness and wake up and do and try to be a productive person in life. And so it's vast, you know, it's diasporic, you know, it's all over the place. But where I'm at, what I can control, I try to do the best that I can as far as you know, uplifting the youth in particular. But as far as the family goes, the state of the family, you know, there's a lot of, you know, as a whole, you know, like where we're at, there's a lot of people below the poverty line. You know, that's huge. And according to a lot of sources, that reputable sources, that our trajectory is pretty bad. You know, the next 10 to 20 years, you know, as a state of Black families, Black America, you know, in terms of economically, you know, all that, you know, although there's a lot of good things going on, and I think everybody on the call, you know, has, you know, contributed to the good, but overall, yeah, it's alarm has been sounded already. So yeah, but anyway, everybody just keep doing what you're doing, and appreciate the whole presentation this morning or this afternoon.
Okay, thank you, Brother
Wow.
Machinda. Thank you. Okay, Sister Linda, you had something to say? You had a
Oh no, I was just kind of piggyback off of what Sandra was saying with the state of the Black family. And I wanted to also add, now that people are eating better, more conscious eating, healthier, and also growing your own food.
Okay.
And also, I just completely agree with Sandra was saying. And we are getting better. Of course, we're not where Ghana is. And I wanted to ask her a question about you say it's called Ghanation. What do you all consider yourself? Can you repeat what you said?
Ghanaian.
Ghanaian. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Linda. Brother Ronnie, we initially just getting everyone's take on what do you think the state of the Black family is at this point. This is Brother Ronnie out of Oklahoma.
Well, that's a tough question. The fate of the black family.
Yeah, that's the topic to today.
I think it's improving. I always want to say that we're advancing as a people as we become more aware and garner more knowledge of self. I think one of the keys to the dismal state of the black family in many cases is lack of awareness of self, and who we are. I've always said we come from kings and queens, not slaves. And so many of our young men and women, particularly, but young men don't grasp that concept or are not aware or not historically up to date on what their true roots are. It's pretty obvious that so many black families are led by women, and women are our strongest component of our society. I've often said, if you want to fix the ills in our society, we need a woman president for eight consecutive years or two full terms. And certainly a woman of color would be great, but any woman that's compassionate and aware of what's going on in this world could fix things. But I also think that as far as the black family is concerned, so many households are headed by single black mothers who are raising their kids in pretty in toxic situations just because of economics and environment and neighborhood. Is there hope to that, to turn that situation around? That's just, that single parent dynamic is, it affects all cultures, white, Hispanic, Asian, but it's particularly troublesome in our black community because so many of our young black boys have been incarcerated and being undereducated because of acting out and things of that nature. Do I think that it's on the up and up and that we're becoming more aware? Yes, as time passes, we're getting better as a people because we're getting more educated. And when I say more educated, it doesn't always have to be at a university level. In fact, most jobs nowadays don't even require university training, but they do require training beyond high school. Rigo, as you and I well know, we've experienced tough situations as educators on the secondary level with young black boys being defiant, have toxic traits, toxic personalities, and in so many of these cases, they're being raised by single black moms who are economically disadvantaged from the standpoint that they don't have a black male around, have been victims of abuse themselves, have kids too early and too poor. They're just literally too poor to raise kids in the type environment and then with the type of discipline and structure that's needed. And rather than being mentors and moms, in a lot of cases, they're trying to be the kid's friend and buying them off with things. And you just need that tough love for these young boys that have been raised out here in such a toxic society. And that's basically my take on it. I think we're getting better. I think so many of our young black women are willing to have kids out of wedlock, which is always been an issue for all races and cultures, but more so than having kids out of wedlock, having kids and not having the economic structure to raise these kids properly, see that they get the proper schooling, discipline them, hold them accountable, stop trying to be friends with them. Yeah, we're lagging in that respect, but I think it's getting better.
Okay, Sandra, I'm gonna go ahead and go to Victoria so she could go ahead and lead the discussion, because she had a particular format she wanted to use. So just wanted to get a quick take on the panel, how they think the black family, what state
Okay.
we're in, and
And Sandra, please chime in. Let's hear it. I'm loving the conversation, the
okay, so
dialogue.
go. Okay, so if Victoria's, that's fine with you.
Oh yeah,
Okay.
come on.
Okay,
What
so
would you
go
like?
ahead, Sandra. Go ahead, Sandra.
No, I just wanted to add that, because I was a single parent, But we have educators that in our this all around in our community where they need to bring their talent like you did, sister. You took it to Ghana and you created educational things for, Black American kids. But I think a lot of educators that they need to come back to the community and create programs for single parents to help with these kids. Because we have in our community here in Tampa, we have Black male role models that they meet every Saturday. They call it Men of Vision, I think. They meet every Saturday or every other Saturday. And these are men that started this are also educators. And they come and help mothers with male and the Black young male in the community to help out, to show them things. I'm so nervous, I'm sorry, to talk to them, but I just think that we need to just come back to our community. Educators do, and even do parenthood, teach a Black woman how to nurture her kids and how to do certain things in the community. Just pair how to be more creative with their kids coming up. Because back in the day, everybody stuck together. You had everybody was your mama. When my mama wasn't around, everybody was my mama. We respected elders. We just did certain things in the community with each other to help out. And I ain't gonna be too long, Princess, because I want to hear from you.
Appreciate it, Sandra. You're doing just fine. So keep up the good work. Okay. All right, Victorious.
Yeah, so many poignant points from everyone, and I appreciate this rich dialogue conversation because, yes, everyone had valuable points, right? I was also raised by a single mom. Unfortunately, yes, there are too many single parent one households. Oftentimes it's the women, being the single mom. Then the finances aren't always there, especially when we're talking about the Black family. We're already economically, strategically at a disadvantage, right? And so now when you have the single parenthood, exactly right. We don't have the finances for, the tutoring, the education, just basic living expenses, the extracurricular that takes to develop a full child. And so that's kind of also too leads into these mentor groups and rites of passage groups that are needed as well. And I encourage you to continue to be in your community and create, the change that you want to see. Be a part of the mentor groups, right? The educator groups that trains the young dads on how to be dads, that trains the moms on how to be moms. Unfortunately, of our community, again, we were strategically attacked spiritually, physically, psychologically. So the whole family structure is broken down. Like, that's not even a rural, there's holes, right? There's holes. And so we have to intentionally fill those holes in because we're coming, we've taken a lot of blows, right? So when I was reaching out and tapping into my network, they're talking about the healing work that is needed. And so I really want to put it on y'all's hearts, around like, what's up with the rites of passage, right? Are there women's groups? Are there sister groups? Are there brothers groups? Are you all involved in some? Do your kids, are they involved in any? How are your children learning how to be men and women? Are you just letting them go off into the world? They don't know how to cook. They don't know how to take care of a household. They don't know how to take care of children. They don't know how to heal themselves. Are you teaching them? Did you get this? Where did you get it from? If we're not skill sharing or creating these practices in community, creating these organizations, where are our children learning this from TV, from their friends, right? So I want to put it back off to you all. What is your relationship with rites of passage, right? When I was growing up, my family attended church. They were Christian. And so my mom was part of organization that she created that did like young women training and how to set the table and how to eat properly, manners, etiquette classes, how to, dress appropriately, right? And then as a teacher, as an educator, I would do young women's groups for the young girls around hygiene and self-esteem, right? And so these types of curriculum, are out there, they are accessible, and I do hear of men's groups and different elders groups for the brothers as well, and they, are doing the their whole brotherhood work. And so I would just encourage like you all to again be involved, co organize collectively, because if we're not teaching our own, then who is, right? So I want to put it back on to you all and just tap in. Were you all involved in any of these programmings? What was your experience? How is that for you? What about your children? Where are your children learning how to court, how to date, how to cook, how to get into healthy relationships? Are you teaching them that or just leaving them to the wolves?
Okay, let me step in and say just a few things. We have Brother Thomas is one of our team, and he worked, well, he's a member of the Nation of Islam, and he was part of a program that mentored black boys. So that's one of the programs I know about. And I got to ask him, is he still active in that? We had another guest on here, and it's another brother from the Nation of Islam, and he had a whole program for his son, which Professor Amin-Ra was involved with. He had a rites of passage program. The Nation of Islam is a good program to have in the neighborhoods to do those type of trainings. And I wanted to mention also, of course, what you mentioned earlier about the state of the black family, where we're strategically being attacked by the type of system we live under, and it contributes to values that are not wholesome, healing, nurturing. We have all of these. You take the American culture of United States. We have all of these valueless values that's not catering towards, the healthiness of a nation. All the things that we come up under is counterproductive to health. So I just wanted to mention that. We can go to Brother Mashinda. Brother Mashinda, rites of passage programs, you know of any? And are you involved in any? I know you are, but tell us
Well,
about it.
I've been in the game a long time, so I've been a part of many mentor programs and things like that in communities where I live, currently, what I'm doing, like I say, I'm dealing with family members, immediate family members, nephews, nieces, things like that, trying to, within the family. Don't get me wrong, I don't ignore, there are some of their friends that are involved, but basically, recently, one of my brother-in-law just passed away, and he had three grandchildren, three grandboys, and so I went and picked him up yesterday, and brought him over to the house, and had a couple other nephews and one of the friends, and so me, so basic conversation, what's on your mind, you got to find out, lowest common, find out what's happening, what's going on, what's going on, what how's school going on, how's who's doing what, and so it sparked that conversation. And then of course, I've always been available to help tutor with subject matter in school. These are school age kids, might need help with math or English or reading, writing, whatever, that kind of thing. But there's a, I think it was 100 men, like I think one of the other panelists or guests, one of the panel members had mentioned, about the men's group. There's a local men's group. I'm not a part of that men's group, but there is a men's group in this town. It's called, I think it's 100 Men. And they, over the years, have provided field trips and leadership and, you know, just basic mentorship to the youth. However, a lot of the men are getting older. And when I say getting older, they, you know, they come to a time where somebody has to take the baton. And so you kind of train up other leaders to do it. So it's a little few and far between, because I think we've lost, like, you know, lines of generations or whatever. But it's kind of like with social media, different other distractions out there that have the mind of our youth, you know, competing with that. That's a task in itself, you know. So, you know, so anyway, but there, that's local here. But I hear about all kind of different community centers and things in other areas in New Orleans or, you know, Baton Rouge or outside bigger cities, things like that. But again, it does take the whole neighborhood to, you know, but that concept is gone. I don't know. I know in Compton, you know, we talk about, you know, Black folks in particular, you know, we're talking, like the sister Victoria said, melanated beings that could be, you know, people with color. And so, you know, Hispanics who claim the banner of being people of color and that type of thing, you know, it's nothing wrong with helping, you know, because I help everybody. You know, where I work at, I mean, we have whites, Blacks. Wasn't it really mainly whites and Blacks? You know, you get a Hispanic every now and then. And, you know, hey, they're a lot of them, are, all of them, most of them are underdogs, you know, trying to get their lives together. And they share common traits as it relates to, you know, their condition, you know, what they're trying to do in life. They're, you know, trying to do something in life. But sometimes, you know, and then I go to the high schools. I talk to classrooms. I do that several times a year, you know, and try to motivate them. Go get a trade, you know, be a welder, be a diesel technician, be an electrician, you know, those things they have to keep. You know, like your brother said, you don't have to go to the university to get education. Education is just information, you know. So I put up one of our electricians, our diesel technicians, any, you know, university graduate in terms of know-how, you know, I mean, it's just what you know how to do, you know. So but anyway, but that's what's going on in this neck of the country, but
thank you so much, Brother Mashenda. Give thanks. I wanted to ask you something in regards to something that you mentioned earlier. And, you know, again, as a woman, a melanated Black African woman, I love my brothers. I love us. I really, really do. However, the controversy, right? Somebody, when I was telling them I was doing this talk, they're like, talk about the gender war. I'm like, what gender war? And I do know what some people are referring to, but I choose not to feed into that. But could you speak, you know, of course, as a melanated, I'm assuming, you know, African man, African American, diasporic man, I'm assuming, right, you would have a greater grasp of the men and what they're going through, right? And so if you could speak to the state of the Black man, right? Because one of my comrades that I was talking to in preparation, he asked me, he said, the African brothers, when I'm working with them, he's like, they really work. He's like, they, and he's all a farmer. And he's saying, like, the brothers don't know how to be brothers and the sisters don't know how to be sisters, you know? And so I think you were kind of mentioning that earlier when you said our men are in trouble. And so I'd just like you to speak to that a little more, bit more, if you could, please.
Well, yeah, what I meant, you know, it's just developing young men into, you know, into becoming men. You know, that's pretty much probably what I meant, you know, as far as, you know, there's a competition out there, you know, there's the drug trade And it depends on what community you're. I'm speaking of a community that I partake in, and the drug introduction of drugs and things like that are, not just, I mean, the youth are experimenting, some of them, and that's going on. But you take your 20-year-olds and things like that. Racism is alive and well here. Of course, white supremacy, white racism is alive and well here. So the black male is kind of, and again, I'm just speaking from my experience, where I'm at, but I think it covers a lot of ground where, again, far as jobs, getting educated, it's going into the job market, if that's what you choose to do. Of course, you can try to open your own business. I think that's actually, that is going on. I spoke on that on other podcasts. We're down here that I'm starting to see a shift in people, are starting to try to open up their own businesses and things like that, which that's a good thing. But just the overall picture of it, when I was speaking on, the black man in trouble. It's, a black woman. I mean, I was raised by a black woman primarily, single household. And, I think she did a great job. And I like to think that I'm okay. Rest of everybody else is okay. But still, that was me who had to help them, during that generation where I was part of that network of neighborhood families or parents that were, I think Sister Sandra said, you respect mothers and you respect fathers. So I know how my mother or my father were. So more or less, when you go to their house, you don't challenge that authority. And so that, of course, has been broken down so much. And then, so what happens is the young man, I guess, there's a lot of anger and things like that. The crime rate, young guys that are 14, 15, 16 years old had 9 murders last year in a very small town. So it's kind of per capita, pound for pound, up there with, New Orleans or anybody else, per capita. And so what happens is they're getting younger and younger. So that's indicative of, they won't make it to manhood. A lot of them won't make it. Or if they do, they're inundated with other stresses in life, like being in fear because all the drama that's going around, being bullied at school, things like that. This is what real time going on in schools right now, where there's a lot of bullying. So you look to the leadership of the school, there's a lot of breakdown in a lot of the school systems. And so again, when the black male is introduced to this and is migrating through life, just going through life, hopefully he can make it to adulthood. A lot of them, that old saying, some of them don't think they're going to make it to 20 years old or 18. So they're living for now and things like that. So, I mean, there's a whole lot of other positive stories that I can talk about, there's always nuggets of positivity, a lot of it, but just on a mass scale, I'm saying that the brothers, they're getting, it's kind of like grandma raising kids, and so that's what I mean about the brothers are getting older. And so the generations that's coming after them are not stepping up and keeping it going. Of course, that's why we're here. We're trying to maintain that. We're trying to infuse, positivity into that area to make sure that it at least keeps going. But it's I don't want to say it's dying. I want to be positive, the glass half full, not half empty. But there's some attrition going on. There's some deterioration and it's like a, kind of like a cancer, it's got to be dealt with. So we're shooting. So again, I'm just concerned about the youngsters trying to become me, making it to that point, I'm tired. I've been in the game a long time and I enjoy what I do, but at the same time, at some point, it won't come to an end, but that every day, because I got, like I said, I have enough family members to deal with, nephews and nieces. I think that's where it starts. Round up those folks. Everybody grab their family members. That's enough in itself. And But the state of the black man, I mean, there's a lot of, like I say, there's good men out there doing a lot of positive things, and I applaud them. And like I said, I don't want to be negative because, you know, we can think of negative, but what I'm looking at from this vantage point, there's a lot of help needed with the young brothers. You know, I mean, it's like a almost, I don't really know. I'm still researching it right now as far as like what's really going on. Because this, you know, like I say, social media has a lot of influence on our children's thinking. And so a lot of the older men, might not understand social media, TikTok, those things, whatever. So you got to go where they're at to communicate with them to, you know. So anyway, but I know I was all over the place with that, but I hope I answered some of your questions.
Thank you. So yes. And I'm just definitely just grateful and appreciative that you're doing the work that you're doing. And, you know, you're right. It does start with the family, you know, so if we could just work on our own self and our own family, we're doing good. If you're able to do more, all power to you. Brother Ronnie, do you care to chime in around the state of the black man? Right, you mentioned the single moms. Why are these men creating single mamas? What is going on?
It's a tragic situation. Why are they doing it? Sexual gratification, the macho toxic culture that goes on among not only black men in this country, but men in general. Women too easy to accept less than what they deserve. Young girls who suffer from lack of self-esteem, and there's a whole subset of black men that are literally predators. Men in general, predators, particularly when it comes to sex. It's ugly. It's just really, really ugly. One of my administrators at Long Beach that Rigo and I worked with in the alternative school setting said that it's a shame, but it's a classic example. Our kids, the ones that are fortunate enough to graduate, think it's a rite of passage then to have a child. And they, you know, women are not so, like our parents' generation, so dependent on having a partner, i.e. a husband, or at least a contributing man on his feet to help them out. We have so many black men who used to go to a barbershop right by Long Beach Poly. And I just see a succession of guys walking in on a daily basis to the barbershop, pants hanging on their ass, smelling like weed, 40 plus years old, got two baby moms, and been to the penitentiary and living with their mama. And that culture is just so strong in every major city in America. And I imagine overseas, where you are in Ghana, Nigeria, other places like that, their culture is just so strong. So many of our young black men are almost anti-education. That is, they come to school to show out, to preen, to walk around. Rigo had a term for them called costume people. Walk around in these various disguises, you know, being cool, but not being buying into the actual education makes you stronger and better. So we produce these guys, they get cases, but they always have willing women to listen to them, and in many instances to procreate from them. And it just stacks itself on top of each other. These same women go out and produce boys who are just like that. And it's a self-sustaining negative trajectory of our people. And a certain percentage of our culture is always going to be locked into that, because no one breaks the cycle. Or the few that break the cycle, it's almost so discouraging to go back and stick your hand in there and try to pull some of them out that it's just tough. You know, my biggest detractors as a black educator in my 20 years of teaching in Long Beach was black moms defending kids who they knew were dead set wrong. Well, you picking on my baby. You should cut him some slack. I'm cutting him some slack just from the standpoint I'm on the phone trying to negotiate with you about his bad behavior, and you saying, well, he didn't have this, he didn't have that, and His dad is locked up. His dad is not in the home. Is that my fault? I'm just trying to teach him some math, and I'm just trying to teach him some survival skills. You talk about mentoring and going into the communities. We struggle with these kids all day long. I don't have the wherewithal to go do it again in the evening with the same set of kids. Then the very kids that you need into these programs, those are not the ones that are showing up. I.e. a back-to-school type event where you get to meet the parents, talk about the kids' educational progress, talk about the kids' social skills, which is a significant part of any school educational situation, trying to get them some decent social skills so they can survive in the world at large. And you get pushback from Black moms. You know, you need to do this. I don't need to do anything but try to educate your kid and make him a better man. That's what I need to do. I don't need to be cutting him any slack because of the fact that his dad is locked up or his dad is not in the home. Are you making bad choices? No, I'm not doing that. That's not the kind of educator I am. And that's not the kind I ever intended to be. And that's not the kind that educated me or Rigo for that matter. So, you know, we get a lot of negative pushback from Black women just trying to do our jobs. But then there's a whole nother subset of Black women who support us, but by and large, their kids are doing the right thing in the first place. So how do we get to this percentage of our kids that's consistently underperforming, that's consistently acting out, that's consistently getting locked up? Those are the ones that are really the problematic ones. The ones that are doing the right stuff, you don't get to talk to them. Those are the ones who show up at the back to school meetings. The kids that are the knuckleheads, you don't see their parents. For many, many reasons. How do we solve this issue? Well, someone mentioned earlier that, you know, for most of us that are at our age, we were kind of raised in the church. We had some grounding. The church is diminishing yearly as a source of support for the family structure because of the issues with it in itself. The church is not active in trying to pull these young Black boys in because, first of all, they're not going to church. The church pretty much mentors to those who come. And that's it. Those who come and contribute, but they're not reaching out in the community to set up these programs or allowing their facilities to be used for things of this nature. Now, and let me get it. There's always exceptions to that. There's always a single church or a single ministry that does these kind of things. But by and large, that's not happening on a level that's sufficient enough to pull us up out of this madness. And as long as we have parents trying to be friends to kids and rewarding kids with iPhones, new Nikes, who are failing in school and acting out, this problem persists. It's just like a pandemic of, I won't call it ignorance, but just lack of, again, I said, lack of, we don't know who we are. We don't know ourselves. We don't know our history. And if you don't know from whence you came, You really have no future except struggle. But that can be reversed through education, and they're just not education minded. I could go on and on, but you know, that's pretty much it.
Well, can I say a few things?
Absolutely.
Ronnie and I worked together for years, at least 5 years together, mm-hmm. working with the same type of kids. I think it goes back to the conditioning and our value system that we took from our captor. I mean that's it in a nutshell. Victorious mentioned it. You mentioned it, Ronnie. Ms. Shinda have mentioned it before. We have to actually change our mindset, and then we're able to change other mindsets through interaction and examples. You got to be the person that you want other people to be. And I think that helps. And I wanted to mention, Victorious, the CEN, the Community Education Network, our organization, we have a mentorship program that we've already tried out. And it actually is a pretty good program. It's a 10-week program that work on personal characteristic of a individual, and it's peer mentorship. My daughter mentored, well, it's peer mentorship, and it also could be, you know, I mentored a autistic boy that was about 13, and and the parent was satisfied with the program. My daughter mentored another girl that was like 16, 17 years old, and helped her out. And we still keep in contact because I work with the child's mother, and we still from time to time interact with her. And we have a mentorship program that works on personal characteristics. So I wanted to mention that. All right, Victorious.
Yes.
Back to you.
You know, I'm happy to hear feedback and know that you all are doing your work. I guess, like, that's it. We're preaching to the choir because, you know, we all are in our communities and active with our families. It's just, as you all mentioned it, the effort, it's too few, right? It needs to spread. It needs to be a bigger force. Sandra, did you want to chime in on the rites of passage conversation?
I was more involved with the rites of passage when I was in California. I haven't been involved with one since I moved to Tampa. But I am involved in the community with various other organizations that promote recycling Black dollars into the community. Like, we buy for my own, and my specialties that I deal with parents with children with autism. But can I make a comment on something one of the brothers talked about?
Sure.
I wanted to add that I don't know if you guys ever read the book Message to the Black Man by Elijah Muhammad. It's really a good book to read, where he spoke about having our own schools that Black males being taught by people that look like us, and having our own schools in our community. And because I don't know if y'all remember Marva Collins, who actually was an educator, and she, I guess she retired, but she actually came back to the community and started her own school. She had kids in the inner city, like third, fourth grade reading at a higher level. You know, she did really well with her school. And I think that if we just really take the time and the patience, because I was that mother that brother talked about, but I go I would go to my kids' school and follow up with my kids, follow up with their teachers. And I was one of them mothers, like, hey, what y'all doing? You know, but I had to learn to be more better than what I was in high, because presentation is very important. Just because you came from a certain area, a low-income background, that don't mean your kids have to go to school acting like that, portraying, you know, where they came from. But I think if we just had more educators to come back to the community and basically start schools, because I know a lot of educators, what they do, they go and retire, you know, and figure that they worked all the many years in the school system. They're not going, you know, I see it as selfishly, because I have cousins that retire educators, and I'd be trying to encourage them hey, come on, let's start a school, let's do this and do that. But I think if a black male growing up in the inner city or anywhere, if he start out, his first teacher is his mother. And I think if he start out seeing people that look like us, I think it'll be much better. I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong. It's okay.
You're not wrong by no means. Give you an example. The high school, I live in Oklahoma City, and the high school I graduated, Oklahoma City Douglas, was seeking some retired teachers to tutor kids in math and English for statewide tests and just to bring up their proficiency levels. I'm 70, I'll be 76, 77 years old in a few months. I'm done. I gave at the office. I spent 20 years in the trenches in Long Beach. I spent another 6 in Tulsa. I don't have the energy or the desire to do that anymore. I think the younger people need to take that up. I'm an old guy. I got some great ideas. I'm willing to articulate my ideas, but for me to get in the trenches and then the principal prefaces it by saying, "Well, now the kids are going to be acting up, and you know that we there's not a lot we can do about that." I'm not stepping into a situation like that at this age, and I've given at the office. And the same thing with a guy like Mascani. He works all day working with kids and silly administrators, trying to get them on the straight and narrow. Then he has a family of his own. He's got 2 daughters in college. I mean, there's just so much you can get out of the same guys that are interested in doing these things. Professor Ra, same type thing, same type scenario. The ones who are willing to participate are literally worn out. We have to have other folks step up beside us. I'm done. I'm not stepping up anymore. And I don't feel any guilt about it whatsoever. Well, then they say, you want to take a mentorship or you have a guy and you spend 3 hours with him on Saturday? No, I'm done. I'm done. They're not listening. The very people we need to reach won't participate in these after-school programs, won't come to these programs. They won't come. Why won't they come? Do the mothers want their kids to be better? Of course they do. But they're so busy struggling to keep the lights on, to just provide basic necessities, to keep food on the table. And they made the poor decisions of having children without men. That's not always a poor decision. Sometimes that's just an act of nature. But you know, you have to take personal responsibility for your kids. You have to hold your kids accountable. And that's not being done in these homes. It is not being done. Kids are rewarded with gifts and things and personal TVs, computers, phones that don't deserve this type of stuff. That's not love. That's not love at all.
That's enabling.
Absolutely. And you know, and then they see us, they come up to the schools and see us. We Roscani can tell you the many meetings we've had with hostile parents who blame us for their kids acting out. They know the kids are acting out, they know we're not lying, but they get in there in the meeting and then they want to take the kids side and say, well, this, well that, well, this and well that, my behind. I'm not listening to that. I'm trying to keep your son out of the penitentiary and out of the system. And you're up here knocking me. You know, some of them are intimidated by the fact that we can speak the King's English without using slang or lingo. The fact that we're dressed professionally. I mean, it's a disconnect here going on among the kids most in need of our services. The kids that are, say, i.e., upper middle class and what, in two-parent homes in many occasions with that are not living at the poverty line, they're gonna be okay for the most part because they have role models at home. So many of these young black men with these toxic masculine traits don't have good role models. Their uncles, the other males in their lives are gangsters, ex-cons themselves, guys are not working, guys with several kids and not responsible for them. It's just so much we can do as educators. You can't ask me to go teach all day and then go mentor kids all in the evening, and the right kids ain't gonna show up, or the right moms ain't gonna bring their kids. No, we're not doing that. This is so much we can do as educators, opening a school. We have a Deborah Brown School in Tulsa where I taught for 6 years. I don't know if Deborah Brown, I know she was an advocate of Marvin Collins and worked with her. It's a wonderful school. They don't allow kids, they have the kids in uniforms, they have after school tutoring, they have great teachers, and those kids are doing okay. But it's such a small segment of the Black community. We're just not reaching the masses. And we can't reach the masses because any educator, particularly at the secondary or the middle school level, will tell you that the biggest problem with students is poor parenting. I learned most of what I learned at home from my mom. My mom forced me to read encyclopedias and dictionaries. That's not going on. We in many of these households, they don't have that. So it's a tough battle we're fighting. And there's just so much we as educators and mentors and community activists can do without some participation from the parents. I'm done.
Thank you, Ronnie Roberts. Everything. Yes, Rascani?
Sandra had her hand up.
Sandra, you had your hand up.
I'm sorry. I had a question for the brother. He basically was saying that he was tired and he's not going blase, blase. But you can always draw up a plan for like
Sandra,
a proposal.
I'm going to cut you off here because, again, I'm under 40 years old. I packed up all of my educational materials. I taught in Oakland. I taught in Inglewood. I taught in Hunters Point, San Francisco. I'm here. I'm doing it. I'm a millennial. Okay. I'm not sure what generation you are. Ronnie's told his story, right? He's put in his time. He's paid his dues. He's passed the torch. I got it. I'm on it. We out here. If you are inspired to start a school, then by all means, please, all hands on deck. Right. And that's what this conversation is about, is not saying and telling the next person what is their dream and what is their whatever. It's us, each individuals, taking personal responsibility for our health, for our family, for our community, you know. And so that's why I'm just going to because this is conversation, but we're not directly telling each other what to do. Right. So I just want to move that along. What are you doing personally, Sandra, in your community with your family?
I have a nonprofit that deals with families with children on the spectrum with autism because
have blueprints and you already have the organizational structure, right?
Yes.
And so that's what we all can do is use our blueprints, our structures, our mentorship to mentor little brothers and little sisters and people coming after us, because that's really what is needed. And that's what I believe, you know, Ronnie was kind of touching on, is this passing of the torch, right? And that's also a mark of, if are you effective, is if you're gone, is the work still moving? Do you
that's
have you trained?
I would love.
Mm-hmm. 10 more people to do your job? Are you training the little brothers and the little sisters to be able to, you know, make life for themselves, learn different skills, creating your educational spaces, right? That's the mark of what the community needs, is us recycling this knowledge, this education, this information.
Amen.
You said what?
I said amen. You're right.
Yes.
I have idea, Victorious, that I'm going to talk to you about, and we're going to partnership you and Ghana. So I'll talk to you about that a little later.
Yes, we are here for it. You know, yes. It's pretty deep because Spirit just said the state of the Black family. That's what we need to talk about. And again, I love us. I love our people. I love us so much. But it's a little disheartening, you know, where the conditions that we're in, right? Being born and raised in California, my parents weren't together, right? My mom, I didn't choose well. Both of my parents were, but again, they were products of the system, right? Our people were strategically bred. And so this whole family system wasn't there, you know? So I would ask my mom growing up, like, why would you pick my dad? He's not the best mate, you know? But what did I do for my life? I'm like, okay, I'm going to make sure I'm going to be in a relationship and a partnership where I'm equally yoked, right? And so that's kind of, you know, what I'm in now is I'm 36 years old. I've never been married. I have been engaged before, but it didn't work out, but it's okay. I have, I'm here in Ghana now, and the brothers that I'm in conversation now about, like, family and relationships, you know, they have a certain consciousness because I can't allow myself to be in a relationship with someone where they're not going to propel me and help me move forward. Because I've seen sisters, my community sisters, again, as a woman, being with other women and seeing they're having children, they're in these relationships. If it doesn't work out, then they're the single mom, not able to fully provide for their children. And it's just this whole, it just spirals out, right? And so I've been, you know, really intentional about, you know, like, who I want to have as a partner, a mate, a husband, have children with, because that's the biggest determiner of how your future will be, you know? And it's a little sad, right? But it's cool. Like, it's a blessing. Come, you gotta, maybe some people gotta come all the way to Africa to get, you know, men that know how to take care and care for and protect and provide for a Black woman such as myself, where the brothers I'll see in the States, I would say they didn't may ha not have the ambition that I had. Like, you know, you're saying they're still living at home. You know, they're not wanting to build their own businesses. They would rather, like, work at a bar or work at an after school program. And again, when you're thinking about family, you're not going to be able to have enough money for a family working at a bar or after school program, still living on your mama couch. How could you, how can we even be together?
Absolutely.
Laughable, right? And so it's unfortunate that our men haven't been trained. They don't have this manhood training. And so the standards that I would have as a woman in, you know, California for my brothers is like, you're doing too much. It's too much. Right. And it's, and also emotional development and spiritual development and just health. Right. So there's, I see the women going to women's healing and going to women's retreats and doing therapy. And our brothers, I don't see those numbers happening as much. I don't see them having that emotional maturity, the vulnerability, what it takes to really connect with a woman on a higher frequency, not just a lower vibrational transactional exchange, right? And so it's really interesting because I'm a conversation that me and some of my sister friends have is now that we have a certain level of education and certain, like, emotional, psychological, spiritual standards, the pool for eligible bachelors, you know, is not as prevalent, you know. So, absolutely. Although I don't really have those issues, but, you know, it is a reality that some people face, and it can be disheartening, you know. And so, kind of it is a big deal, right? Literally having to come all the way. And again, I don't feel like, I know I'm talented, I know I'm smart, I know I'm beautiful, and I have standards, but especially in California, the brothers may want a woman where I can just lay up under her and she'll take care of me, right? I don't need to do anything. I can play video games all day and she's going to cook and clean. And or maybe they don't even want to be with Black women. They want to be with a white woman whose family has a trust fund for her and her daddy gives her an allowance. So she doesn't care if you're eating up all of her groceries. She doesn't care if you're not providing for the household because her daddy got that. She got inheritance. She just want a little Black accessory, cute boyfriend on her arm, where I'm like, that same brother, I'm like, no, brother, you need to come on, like, What's your 5-year plan? And let's contribute. You can't come over and lay up by my house all day and eat up all my groceries. That's not going to work. So a lot of our men, at least again, my experience, I'll notice a number of them would rather be with the white women or the Latina, Latinx with girls or the Asian women, because there's a certain bar and a standard that was too much, right? So it's very, yeah, that part I feel like is a little disheartening and can be a little bit sad. And then I feel like for the brothers that I meet here on the continent, they like to have like their village girlfriend who all she knows is being at the house and cooking and cleaning from 5 a.m. to 7 at night. She don't want to go nowhere. She don't want to do anything. She just want to lay up and cook and clean and have get babies. So some of our brothers are like, oh, our sisters, they don't know how to be wives. They don't know how to be mothers. They don't know how to be loyal and take care of a home. So I'm gonna just go to Africa and I'm have my little African wives. Some of them are young girls. That's a whole nother conversation. So yeah, it's very interesting dynamic that we have here.
Well, can I say this?
Yes, sir.
When you're under attack and you've been programmed to be a certain way and it's working, this is why we have all of this. And this is why we need to throw out the value system that we have and come with the one we're supposed to have. Brother Ronnie said, know thyself. And you know, the simple core values that we need. A lot of people exchange that for these values that doesn't mean anything. And you know, and they take on this personality of their captor, which is terrible. I mean, and then it takes education to figure that out once you were programmed, because I was. So I can speak on it and look at the transformation that I made. It took years, but when you're in those formative years in that adolescence, wow, it's and you getting like Brother Ronnie was talking about, you know, these guys, all they running around trying to conquer women. That was in the neighborhood. You know, this is the values that was being taught. Or you running around here playing cops and robbers, gang banging and all this war and gang violence. They learned that from the white men. Well, from the system. You know, we're over in what is that Russia and Ukraine? We're funding Russia, I mean Ukraine, with all of these weapons and other countries and weapons. We're being taught to be these heathen type people to kill each other. That's a value we don't need. We should be sustaining life, not taking life.
Male masculinity.
You know, it's crazy. So we have this model in front of us that's saying this is how you should be. And then it's perpetuated through media and song, you know, and raps and all of that. And they allow it to just flourish in our neighborhoods. We have all of this stuff coming at us that is unhealthy. And we just take it in and take it and grasp it. You know, Brother Machine is saying we having these killings where he is in Bogalusa, Louisiana, in a small town. You know, we just taking on this personality of this person that doesn't care anything about us. But this is why we have this uphill fight and battle. And Brother Roddy contributes to our cause that we're doing here, which is educating. So he's not finished. You know, he does it in another way. And I'm gonna present some things to him later on that he might jump on, you know. So we're not done. Long if you're around me, you're not done.
Work just transforms. It looks
Yeah.
different.
That's right.
See in the classrooms, but now I'm not directly in the classroom. We have a drop-in center for the community youth here. So, so it's like you do what you can. As long as you're still supporting in whatever capacity works for you. You know, it could be your family, it could be once a month, whatever. Just do something, you know. Yeah, there's so much to get into. The main thing that I think all of us touched on is the knowledge of self, right? And just having the consciousness of who, do you know who you are, right? Are you proud of who you are? Do you know where you came from? Making positive strides for self-improvement, right? So really, you know, this work is not gonna get solved in our time and our generation, but it's about planting those seeds for the just doing what we can, right? It was years. The colonizers had years of programming us, and it's going to take years for us to deprogram and decolonize. But again, it starts with ourselves, right? It starts with our families. And that's why for me, I take time to stretch and work out and eat healthy and do my self-development work to heal myself, because I know my parents were colonized, right? I know my grandparents were colonized. And so I don't want to perpetuate that in my relationships with my friends, my communities, with partners, with my future husband, with my children. So I'm working on myself so that I can attract the highest possible reflection. And if we each and everyone does their own personal work, then hey, they're gonna attract who they are. Even if you're attracting yourself, as you make yourself be damn good, right? And so that's what I would say, you know, for the Black family, is if we're all coming as wholes, 100%, not fragmented, traumatized pieces, and now we're spewing and traumatizing each other. And it's gonna take time, you know, because if you've never been taught, you know, that baby powder is not really good to put on the baby, or Vaseline is not good for the baby, or cow's milk is not good for your baby, you don't know, right? So we just have to continue to educate, continue to teach one another, leading with love, you know. And I have faith in our people, and I know, you know, it's going to turn around.
Okay, well, we've been here for a while. Sister Making It Happen just came in. And we could, I guess we can get a final word from her. And then Victorious, you could close out. Then I could share what's going on for this week coming up. So Sister Making It Happen, would you want to kind of brief her on what we said? And then if she could have any contributing words.
So we've talked about so much, right? We talked about so much, but the overarching theme is, due to colonization, our men don't have the skills and the training to be men, right? Our women don't have the skills and the training, the experience, the expertise. They haven't witnessed it. If you grew up in a single parent household all your life, how do you know how to be a husband? How do you know how to be a wife? How do you know how to court? How do you know how to date? How do you know how to keep a home, right? How do you know to care for your wife or your husband spiritually, psychologically, emotionally, right? And so really the conversation is about doing this work for ourselves and creating systems and programs and organizations, starting with your own family, right? As Brother Mashenda spoke of, starting with your own sphere, your own community, right? And so that's kind of where we are. There's so much, many other things that we got into, but that's the gist. Sister Making It Happen, how are you? Give us your take on the state of the Black family and how we can help.
Greetings, and thank you for allowing me to have some words, you know, personally, family, in the middle of a transition ourselves. But I'm wonderfully to hear this beautiful young lady speaking. I was asked by Sister Linda to make sure that I got on the call. By the time I looked up, it was, oh my God, the call is, are they still on? So I appreciate everything that you've been saying from what I could hear. And that is kind of the gist of what Black Women for Wellness is about. And so I'm glad that, you know, your speaking about this, and I agree that it starts with self. And yes, as we become more consciously aware, then we must do better. And yes, it does start with self and with your immediate circle. And that's where you can make the change to affect the bigger picture. So thank you so much for allowing me some words. Peace and blessings.
Black Women for Wellness, is that based out of Los Angeles with Jan Robinson Flint?
Yes, I'm one of the original founders. And so everything that you said is the spirit of our organization, and you are a reflection. And so ashe to you and thank you, and let the light shine and keep shining bright like a diamond and doing your work, sis, because that's what we are about. So go, go, go. Yes. Get them.
Used to go to Black Women for Wellness's brunches. They used to have like Sunday brunches back in LA, like 2007, 8, 9, when I was a little babe.
So it's, again, here it is, full blown, full circle. And I appreciate just, again, seeing you glow. And yes, that is the spirit of what it's about. And we can affect the change, because we have to for our future, and we must think about our future. So there it is.
Right. Wonderful. So this is what I'm talking about. Organizations like Black Women for Wellness, again, when I would say 22, 23 years old, going to their Sunday brunches, and they would have conversations on just like mental health, making sure as a wife and a mom, as a woman, you're taking care of yourself, because how can you go, go, go for your family if you're not taking care of yourself? So it was things like these brunches and events that I sought after so that I can prepare my mind and body and spirit for what was to come. And so it's just so great to have you on, one of the original founders. Yes!
And so we'll connect, we'll stay connected, brother. Brother Moore, Masakani, put this together, and we'll be together, and we're here. So if you need to reach me, he knows how to reach me directly, and we can continue to build and, you know, join missions and continue to do what we need to do to get our community back on track and, of course, correct ourselves.
Right. It's a life, you know, for those of us, like I think all of us on this call, we know that it's a lifelong practice, right? No matter what the work looks like or how it evolves, this is a lifelong practice. And that's something too, that I think about even just, you know, in as far as the family, me, a single woman never giving birth, right? So for my partners, you know, the brothers that I'm interested in, they're doing what I'm doing. They're building intentional communities. They're on the continent. They're mindful eaters, they're healthy, right? So if you're not on that page, what is there to talk about? What is that? There's nothing, you know. And so you have to, that was another point that some people chimed in about, compatibility and being with someone that can be compatible, right? If I'm all about health and wellness and repatriation, my partner needs to reflect that. They can't be all in capitalism and not a community member, it's not going to work. You have to have people that are complementary pieces and parts. And you can't be so eager and desperate and thirsty and not love yourself that you're just going to run out. You know, that's a thing that we see here, is people just running out at 25 and 30, like they haven't gotten married yet. The pressure here in West Africa, there's more pressure once you're like 25 to get married. And if you're not, like, whoa, you know. But again, most people are unhappy. They're unhappily married. They're, the woman is at home. She's sad. She's stuck in a house, slaving in the house, talking about how exhausted she is. The man has his other little girlfriends and his other families, and they have children that aren't feeling whole because the whole family is not there, and it's just a cycle, right? And so just all of these, there's so much we can go on and have like conversation 2, 3, 4, 5 about the Black family and all the pieces. Right. But again, I believe, like I said at the beginning, a lot of these problems with the Black family could be alleviated when we start doing our own internal work and development, because then you're not so eager to run out into a situation that you know is not going to fully be beneficial for you. You only run out and attach and cling and attach yourself to something when you don't feel 100% full within yourself. right? And so that's why the self-development piece is key. And I always have to like return to that. So any closing questions for me before I sign off? This was a great talk. I'm so grateful and thankful to have shared energy with you all this evening. For me here in Ghana, it is 9:50 in the evening. So it's been a great evening call. Yes. But yeah, I just wanted to know any questions that you all may have before we transition this day.
No, I know I don't have any questions. I know I want to build. So
yeah,
I'm gonna talk to you. I have some ideas. As we were talking, of course, I come up with ideas. So we will talk very soon, Victoria, because I want to make sure
so
we go ahead.
Any last words, questions, comments? Are you whole and complete?
Sandra?
Okay.
Okay, brother. There goes Sandra.
You had mentioned something earlier about migrating to Ghana for those that wanted to move to Ghana.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we touched on that. When he opened up, go ahead, I'm sorry.
So some of the work that I do is just supporting folks that are ready to relocate. So reach out. I sent my email address earlier, khalifaconsulting@gmail.com, or our website, khalifaconsulting.com. And you can just message me there directly. My team and I, you know, Diasporans and Ghanaians, we help find housing and help you set up like your internet, water, electricity, how to get around, mobility training, if and when folks that are ready to make that move to relocate, to decolonize, right? That's a major part of the decolonization process. You're no longer going to feed into Babylon. Take your money, take your family, take your children. If you're really serious, then come to Africa. You know, and so that's kind of like one of the final, you know, steps or key pieces. Or for us, it's kind of like, now you're really doing the work. Now you're here, really building. You have no other option. You can no longer depend on the colonizer for your comforts, right? There, here comes the real manhood training and the real womanhood training. You're going to build a house from scratch with your community, right? Do you have that community buy-in? Have you invested and made enough connections with your peers? Are they on the same consciousness where they're willing to take their savings, whether it be $5,000 or $500,000, and come to build intentionally, creating your own schools, creating your own grocery stores, our own banks, right? That collective work and responsibility, you know? So if people are ready to do that and they want to do that, my team and I, we support people in that process.
That is so wonderful, and it's great to hear. Great to hear. Yes.
I'm going to drop it in the chat one more time. khalifaconsulting.com. Okay. And I still have my California phone number if you want to send me a text message. We can talk more as well. Okay. Cool.
Okay. Thanks a lot for that. Now, I want to thank everyone for being here. Victorious, excellent. I'm glad you're able to come on with us and share about Ghana and the state of the Black family. We have our work cut out for us, but what better work is there? That's what I want to know. What better work is there?
Exactly.
Sandra, thanks for coming. Appreciate it. Hoping to see you be a guest on Conscious Corner, and you're always welcome to be a guest on the CEN show. Sister Making It Happen, I'm glad you were able to come and bless us with your presence. Brother Machine.
Yes.
Brother Machinda, excellent as always. Thanks for being here. Linda was here. I thank her. And also, he had Brother Ronnie. So excellent, excellent presentation and discussion. And we're going to keep doing it until we can't do it, and then we're going to pass it on. That's what we're going to do. When we're not doing it and can't do it, somebody else can. So, Victorious, thanks a million. Can you stay on for a second?
Oh, yes. And I even put my Instagram in the chat, Khalifa_consulting. You can also find me at Priestess_Victorious. I put like email, my phone number, I put everything for you all.
Let me share what we got going for this week. Okay, folks. Here we go. So we have a massive discussion coming on tomorrow.
Okay.
This is on Conscious Corner. We got a panel that's going to discuss raising Black children in a racist institutional, supposed to be institutional dynamic. So that's what we have tomorrow. And then we have a treat. Got my granddaughter. I'm going to interview her on Wednesday. So that's what's going on this week. And of course, we just had an excellent show with Sister Priestess Victorious from Ghana. All right. So I'm going to say each one teach one in Conscious Corner. Everybody have a great rest of the day. And we will do this again very soon.